conspiracies unlocked. Just first of all, I have a slight cough again because I think I'm dying, but that's okay. So I am going to apologize now for all of my coughing in the near future, and sorry about that. Yeah. Anything else to add to that?
I feel great, so I'm hoping I don't get sick from whatever you have.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything sick. I just have an allergy or something. I don't know. Anyways, so do you guys remember the housing crisis in 2008?
Yeah, a lot of people lost their homes, and a lot of people like my sister and her husband jumped on the bandwagon and bought a house really cheap.
Yeah, and also there are a lot of people that should not have been given home loans that were given home loans with no way to repay them. So Ninja Loans is really what was to blame for all that.
Because they just wanted to make a fast buck, right?
Yeah. So we're going to get into like what Ninja Loans are, because it is called a Ninja Loan. And that means no income, no job, no assets. Oh. I'm getting ahead of myself, maybe. Hold on. So
that's okay. Your qualifications?
Yeah. Like, they were like, that's a ninja loan. You have no income, no job, and no assets. And they were giving these out, like, left and right.
I would think that would be a red flag for banks, and they would not want to give you a loan.
So how did they do this? Well, subprime mortgages were to blame, and a subprime mortgage is a mortgage that is given to someone with an extremely low credit score that would usually not be able to get approved for a mortgage loan. Subprime loans usually have a higher APR and will be an ARM loan, which stands for adjustable rate mortgage. So that means that the APR can change at any given time depending on the volatility of the stock market and the current bank rates. So like if you had a loan and you're paying $1,000 a month for your house, let's say, and then all of a sudden the interest skyrockets to, let's say, from 1% to 10%, all of a sudden you have to come up with $1,500 that month.
Yeah, because it's not a fixed rate.
It's not a fixed rate. So that means that, like, it could double. Some of them even tripled during that 2008 recession.
This is a predatory loan.
Yeah. So, like I said, the Ninja Loan stand for no income, no job, no assets, and it was a loan that was directed at people who would not be approved for a loan and who had no way of paying back their loans. These types of loans were given to those with unstable job history, if they could even verify employment at all. And they were relaxing the underwriting process for these loans. So people, they were just like fudging numbers, like, oh, you were a nanny, you know, 10 years ago, you babysat your neighbor's kid. Let's put that down as job history since you were 14. When in reality, it's like, yeah, you babysat on Saturdays once a month for 2 hours, you know, for date night.
Yeah, they were just trying to find anything that they could possibly to write something.
Yes. But the problem is, like, why would banks be okay with that, not getting their money back?
Because they had to lie to the banks then.
No, it was the banks that were giving out these loans. So the banks were okay with this because they assumed the houses that they were selling would turn a profit and these people would end up being refinanced later on or sell their house for profit. So they were expecting this $100,000 house to, in the next year or two, to go up to $125,000, $130,000 and not be upside down. And instead, the housing market inflated. And all of a sudden, if you remember in 2001, 2002, 2003, houses that were $100,000 were only worth, they were only worth like, or it was, sorry, I'm sorry, I got my dates wrong. Houses that were, they thought that by like 2005, 6, 7, houses would be like, you know, twice as much or whatever.
And there'd
be
a crash.
But instead it crashed and it was now worth nothing.
Yeah.
So when they thought they could sell their house for profit, then they could repay the loan and all would be right in the world. And they just could not, the banks could not foresee that the entire housing market was going to crash. And so Why? How did they start doing this? Well, in 1999, the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed. So this was in 1999, right before all this housing shit went down. And this was also known as the Banking Act of 1933. So this Banking Act was passed as a result of the Great Depression. And this act was put into place to effectively separate commercial banking from investment banking and ensure that there were no conflicts of interest. This is also what brought about the banks to being like FDIC insured. Mm-hmm. Before that, banks were not insured for their money. And that's why in the beginning of Mary Poppins, they're like, Poppins, Poppins, because they're like all freaked out because they're and everyone's running to the bank to get their money out. And the same with on It's a Wonderful Life. Did you ever see that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw both.
And I remember how they were like trying to get out all their money all at once because they thought the banks were going to crash because it wasn't FDIC insured.
Yeah, they wanted to get their money before it was lost.
So the Banking Act of 1933 was all done to protect the investors, consumers, home buyers, just pretty much everybody in the financial world. So in 1999, when that was repealed, all of those laws protecting everybody just kind of went to shit. And now the banks were not being as closely monitored and regulated by the government. The restrictions were then loosened, and that is when beginnings of conflicts of interests and the banks were able to engage in riskier lending practices, hence the ninja loans.
Okay. Yeah.
So now, because before they were being like, there was like regulations in place to where, oh no, you cannot, like the government came in and told banks, like, you cannot do business with this bank or this investment people. You can't be together. You can't lend to this person because the government has, quote unquote, our best interest at heart, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, you cannot do it. So now. How funny. Sorry, guys. So now the banks were all loose. Everything was just like all loosey-goosey. Everything's fine. And this is also when the banks would start to bundle the mortgage into securities, which that is an investment. So they would sell the loans to investors. So they would bundle all these mortgages that they knew were ninja loans. Mm-hmm. Make it into a security, then they would sell the loan to investors, offloading the risk and exposure from the bank and putting it on everyone else. So it's like they're selling them a lemon car, and they know they are.
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh, but it looks so pretty like this, and put a nice little bow on it, and here you go.
Yeah.
And now they have to deal with it, and the banks are off.
It's like deep clean, detail lemon car, put a bow on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you can't start it or go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So then the credit rating agencies would see that the mortgage investment risk of the bank was low. So they would give the bank a high credit rate because they just offloaded all their high risk shit. Mm-hmm. And then that would then encourage investors to invest with these banks. They were offloading to these investors these crappy things.
Yeah, but it was all bogus. It was all lies.
And it was, even though they had all these subprime ninja loans, the risk overall did not look as bad as it was because it was all rolled into a quote-unquote security and had that nice little bow on it, mm-hmm. and they just kept pushing off to the investors. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
That's really shady.
Shady as fuck.
Really shady. And
so
I feel like that's, like, against the law, though.
That was the loophole they found because of that. That is why
So it was actually a loophole.
Well, no, that is why the Banking Act of 1933, when it was repealed in 1999, that's when all that happened. Because all these laws and all these federal regulations were just out the window, and then they could just do whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. So then it became rinse and repeat as they would make large short-term profits. Loan officers were given major incentives to get as many loans approved as possible, even if they knew the home buyer would never be able to pay back their mortgage. So even if they knew that they get their house foreclosed on in the next 3 months, it was like, whatever, they didn't care. Because of the huge incentives that these banking underwriters were getting.
Well, then also they'll just get another couple in or people that...
Exactly, and they're offset and they're offset. Yeah,
and it's just a cycle and they
rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat.
Cycling through.
Exactly. How fucking shady is that? Mm-hmm. So as ninja loans became more and more popular, the demand for homes became more and more, which led to the houses being worth so much more than they were originally worth. With everyone getting loans with low to no credit score, everyone was buying up all the houses. Not only were people buying new homes, they were buying second and third homes as investment properties.
Oh, yeah. Rentals.
Yes. And however, the only problem is that their loans were still on an ARM rate. So when they first got the loan, the APR was super low. However, after a while, it would reset to normal and it would be above normal rates. Suddenly, between the ninja loans and the economy failing, people losing their jobs, and now they were defaulting on their mortgages, the value of housing dropped as well. What was once a million-dollar house 2 years ago was now a fraction of that. Those who stayed in their houses were upside down on their house, and they were realizing what a bad investment it truly was. All the banks that were invested in these subprime ninja loans were now failing, and this housing crisis was seeping into other sectors of the economy. This domino effect even caused a global recession. Mm-hmm. After this housing crisis occurred, America then put regulatory legislation back in place, starting with the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which would limit a bank's risky investments as well as the need for greater capital requirements to gain a loan. So the consumer, the lendee, would have to show that they have fucking assets and capital and they have things before they can just get a loan off Joe Schmo off the street with zero down and no job. And
as they should be, they should have to prove that.
Yeah. So, and so now the credit rating companies are being regulated and have to show complete transparency on how and where they're getting their information and how they came up with the rating they did. Remember, it was the credit rating company that urged investors to invest with certain banks.
Yeah.
Even though they saw them being potentially being a risky investment. So that is why now we get, whenever you get a credit report, you get all the pages of information about like why is your credit that way? Why this? Why did you get denied? What, you know, everything. And now there are now more consumer protections that would include stricter mortgage lending standards, meaning they cannot just give loans out willy-nilly anymore. They need to make sure you can back your loan and repay your loan. Even though there have been several new legislation and laws that have been put into place since 2008 housing crisis, there are still ways that certain companies are able to find loopholes and to hand out these ninja loans again.
Oh,
so they have just recently found the loopholes.
Beware.
One of those companies is Capital One. Yeah, with their use of the Quicken Loans.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the Quicken Loans?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's quick and easy, and they found the loophole to just get you the money quick, which is basically mirroring the 2008 housing crisis. And beware, because they also use the name Rocket Mortgage.
Oh, Rocket Mortgage.
Is a subsidy of Capital One.
Yeah, I've heard of Rocket.
So one way that Capital One is getting through some of the loopholes is by using their own alternative credit rating system. So they're like rating themselves. Like, hey, I'm cool. Like, rate me A.
So what are the standards for their...
Well, usually we would look at a FICO score to see what a borrower may have been late on in their past or their payment history with car loans, credit cards, and other loans. Capital One is now using a system that does not look at the FICO score with as much weight as the other lenders do. Capital One is now looking at the rental payment history, utility payment history, banking behavior, such as overdrafts, account balances, transaction history, etc., employee history, whether they have had a stable work life and education, which seems even more so invasive.
Yeah.
But they can smudge all those numbers, the stable work history, your babysitting job that you had forever, you know? So then Capital One believes that by looking at all these aspects, they're actually able to give more people more money as opposed to most of these people being looked over like in a traditional lending system, only looking at that FICO score, not looking at everything the person is doing. However, the FICO score is data. It's raw data. It is what it is. It's there. It's factual. You can't smudge it, where with Capital One's alternative credit rating system, you can smudge all sorts of shit.
Yeah, but I feel like it's more detailed the way that they're trying to do it now.
If they did it correct. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And that this is still a risky practice. And while they're technically still doing the proper credit checks, it is a slippery slope to engaging in more riskier loans, which would lead down the same trail as the ninja loans. Also, it seems that this type of alternative credit scoring model may come off as biased towards those with a higher education or who have had more advantages in their life.
Well, maybe they would have a higher credit score anyway.
And then they wouldn't need it, yeah. Who cares? There's also a concern with the data privacy. How deep into your personal life are they allowed to go?
Yeah, that is an invasion of the privacy, I feel like.
Yes, most data about ourselves are private. And if they're able to look into your personal life to find an alternative credit score, are they actually invading your personal privacy? It's almost like a social credit score.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like it's becoming a social credit score, which is scary. And that would be so invasive in our life.
It's like the... the meme that you posted.
Yeah, where the electric car won't work in a few years if you haven't paid your mortgage or I forget what it was.
I forget too, but it was funny. Yeah, or Black Mirror.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen Black Mirror season 1, definitely go do it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really
good. And
we are
definitely going down that way. It's like Black Mirror is just a fortune telling story because everything seems to be coming true from Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm. It's like people are going to look back on it like how they look at The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, they predicted that.
Yeah, for sure. And they already are doing social crediting in China. We've talked about that.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while because when we talked about FedNow and the whole...
they were already doing
it. Yeah, they were already doing it.
Yeah, and that was a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So if Capital One does not remain vigilant and self-regulate, there is an imminent danger of the 2008 housing crisis to resurface and happen again. So, where's the conspiracy in all this? If Capital One is truly repeating what they did in 2008, then they would be purposefully inflating the housing market to make the housing prices higher. Then they are collecting the money for lending the money in the first place, plus the interest rate on those high-priced houses. Then after the customer defaults, which the bank already knows they will, they can swoop in and buy the house at a foreclosure low-ball rate. And then they turn around and they sell the property to another buyer that cannot afford it, so they can foreclose on it, buy the property at the foreclosure rate, and the cycle continues over and over and over again, which is exactly what happened in 2008.
It's just a loop for them to get money.
Yeah, if we don't see it and stop it from happening, we will face the same struggles as we just did almost 20 years ago. It was only 20 years ago. 2008 was, 16 years ago. Yeah.
But see, wouldn't this
That's
only...
That's way too soon.
Wouldn't this only work if the housing crashes again? Because right now, the housing is so expensive. It's up. It hasn't gone down yet.
So people are being forced into houses that they can't really afford because there's no other options. So is Capital One, like, are they trying to increase housing prices and inflate housing prices in order to... make it to where everybody has to buy these expensive-ass houses. Maybe they're purposefully doing
it. But even the rent, because, like, if you look at places that they're building, which I would consider, like, the ghetto of San Diego areas.
Yeah. No, there's still million-dollar condos.
Yeah, like, they're building all these new apartments, and it's, like, between three... I think the lowest I saw was $3,000 to $4,500 a month. To rent.
For like a one bedroom.
In the ghetto. No, they're like 2-3 bedrooms. It has like a parking garage and it has like, you know, like a pool and like maybe a little weight room or something. Like it's nice, but it's like in the ghetto.
Yeah. No, the housing.
It's like not in a nice area.
It's just that I'm going to call it right now that the Quicken Loans is going to be disastrous for this country. I'm calling it now. Mark my words, in a year when everything is all this shit, I want you to cut out this little video and replay it and be like, look, bitches,
Bitches.
Jenna was right, and it's not a conspiracy because now it's been proven true.
Girl, bye.
Boy, bye. Oh, I forgot bye. We don't say bitches anymore.
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. But yeah, I'd be
that's
like,
funny.
Girl, bye. Boy, bye.
Yeah, whatever. You people, bye.
Bye. Bye. Capital One, bye.
Right? So that is what a ninja loan is, which I never knew what it was, and I never really understood the housing market crisis or how it really went down. But that is what they did. They were giving loans to people that should never have had loans, and I knew that, but I didn't know the whole,
like idea behind it.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see what's going to happen here with the new administration.
Yeah, I don't know if they can fix all of it. I don't know. I don't really know how much they regulate for housing prices, like, in the states, at the state level, because we're in California. It's always more expensive, you know?
It is, but you know what? It's like, that was I could see $4,000 or $5,000 living on the coast people pay.
Yeah.
But I'm talking inland.
Yeah, you're an hour inland.
It's not the slums of San Diego. It's not the ghetto, but it is the more poorer side.
Yeah,
and
well, that's
people, how they can't afford. You have to show 3 times your rent. They don't even make that much. Who's going to move into these places?
But they will, because they'll use the alternative credit check. Mm. And then they'll kick them out and they'll, you know.
But it's not, they're not trying to buy them, though. Just trying to rent.
Yeah, I don't know. They're doing it, though. I don't know, because minimum wage here has gone up so much that $22 an hour or something like that is for McDonald's.
Yeah, but if you work at McDonald's full-time, you still cannot pay $4,000 a month rent.
Yeah.
Because these places do not include water, trash, electricity, maybe water. I don't know. I don't live
in an
apartment.
You would have to live with someone else. You'd have to have roommates.
But then,
I don't know,
but then
dude.
They also have laws about how many people can live in one apartment.
I think that they're really relaxing those laws nowadays.
You'd have to have,
10 people.
How many
two
people?
2 people per room.
More than 2 people.
So that'd be, $800.
If you're talking minimum wage.
Yeah.
So. Unless they have, some kind of subsidized housing, Section 8 or something.
That's, a 10-year wait list. There's no way nobody has time to, wait for that.
I don't know. I just think it's wild.
Yeah. No, it is. I can't even. So... Well, yeah, we're very fortunate where we both live because we have rent control and everything and all that. So
yeah, it's
if
it's,
we ever got to move, we would just be totally fucked, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I would not want to rent an apartment in the ghetto for $4,000.
No,
I'd rather move to another state at that point.
Yeah,
that point.
I think so too. And I think that's probably what they're doing. They're trying to do is push a lot of people out of this state.
A lot of people have moved out of California.
I know so many people have left. Yeah.
So many people have left California because of how expensive it is to live.
Just everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not even just the housing, but the gas tax alone is $2 or $3 a gallon on top of what everybody else pays.
Or just even groceries.
Ugh, groceries.
I know.
Okay, well, we're all done with this. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope that you have a fabulous
rest of your... We're just complaining about money.
I know, that's why I'm we gotta cut this shit short.
We know our listeners are relating to this, though.
I know.
I mean, come on, what state do you live in, and, what is it
there? What is your economic problem? Because now let me bitch more. Even the states that have, low... rent, their minimum wage is lower, so it's all relative like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then take another step further, there's 1 billion McDonald's here, right? On every fucking street corner, so you can always go work there. Other states, they don't have that same ability because there's only maybe 2 McDonald's or 2 fast food places in their town of 10,000 people, or it's much smaller, so there's less opportunity for. Even to move up in the world, they don't, here we have a lot of manufacturing, healthcare, we have a lot of, industries.
There's a lot of jobs.
There's a lot of jobs here where other places, that's why they want Amazon buildings to go up, because it employs everybody in that town.
Or a Walmart or something.
Something like
super
that.
Center,
so, yeah, it would
they
employ.
Need a lot of employees.
Yeah, and it employs all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. because otherwise there's no employment, there's no job. So even though everything is so cheap, you still can't afford it. It would almost be like you'd have to have someone here living and then living like crap here and sending it back, just like they do in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot of people do that. They get work visas, but they live in Mexico. They work here, and then they
send money to their family. Yeah, I know a lot of like white people that were born here, moved to Mexico, and cross the border every day to come back to work here.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how cheap it is, like.
Yeah.
Your money goes so much further down there. Like, they have mansions down there and shit.
Well, supposedly Britney Spears moved to Mexico to get away from the paparazzi.
I'm sure she has her own little island there.
Yeah, I hope so.
With a moat and everything.
I hope she does.
Yeah.
So she can just spin in happiness.
On her moat.
Yeah.
With her crocodiles.
No crocodiles.
What? Sharks. Going around the moat.
No. Yeah. Oh, like little animated ones?
No, real ones.
So like at Universal Studios?
That way they can feed, when the paparazzi try to come, she can feed
she
it.
She can push them in there.
Yeah. That's how the sharks get fed. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
All right. I'll go with that.
All right. So, thanks for listening.
Please don't forget to share, like, and subscribe.
And email us at conspiriesunlocked@gmail.com. Bye. Forgot your bye.
No, don't say bye yet.
Oh.
Please don't forget that we are doing the Phenomenal Fan Encounters. And if you have anything that you'd like to email us, anything out of the ordinary, UFOs, cryptics, paranormal, anything you have experienced, please let us know so we can use it in our next episode, because we would love to share your story.
Thank you.
Bye.